Welcome to Let's Talk Real Estate. I'm your host, Anna Olsisi, serial entrepreneur, passionate marketer, and owner at Segue Group. On the podcast, you will find valuable information about all things real estate, plus some fun stories told by a variety of guests. So if you like what you hear, then subscribe and invite any friends who you think may get some value from listening. Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode. This week, we are going to discuss, or at least I'm going to tell you about, the housing shortage and the ridiculous seller's market and what in the world is going on and what is responsible for it. Right now, it seems like a very discouraging time to be a buyer here in America, particularly in Florida. We are seeing such a massive housing shortage. Reports recently have said that about 4 million homes are what are needed in order to meet the demand. Here in Alachua County alone, we're looking at about a 1 month inventory, which means that if everything that were currently listed, that is existing homes, not new construction, were to sell and nothing else were to come on the market, then we would have no homes available. And we're talking condos and single family homes, all sorts of things. It's nuts. I work with a lot of buyers. Fortunately, I have also worked with a lot of sellers this year, and we are looking at competition, just like through and through, bidding wars, people getting multiple offers on homes going $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 over asking price. You know the narrative, you've heard it over and over again. Everybody's speaking this gloom and doom. I would guess that it's probably going to end, I don't know, relatively soon. And by soon, I really don't have a complete answer as to what soon means, but hopefully within a year. We'll revisit this next year to see if that's true. But for now, here are three things that are driving this crazy market that I at least have never seen before. And most people haven't either. So the first thing, dun, 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 is COVID. Of course, it's COVID. COVID has created chaos everywhere for multiple reasons, but one of the reasons it's affected housing is that the demand for homes has increased. We've heard that over and over again, right? We've got people coming from places where they were boxed into little apartments, places like New York and such, and they've realized that they want space. If they can work from anywhere, that anywhere could be the beach, that anywhere could be the mountains, it could be wherever their little hearts desire. Gosh, it could even be like somewhere else that's not even here. It could be like an island in the middle of somewhere. All this has caused people to want to buy single family homes in places that have a little bit of land. So they can have yards, they can have pools, they can have a trampoline for their kids outside, whatever. The point is they don't have to be boxed in into a little apartment with not even a balcony should we have to lock down again, which hopefully we won't, but you never know. And that nevertheless has created this massive demand for homes. So why has that affected it though? Weren't there homes for sale? Yes, there were homes for sale. As it turns out, there weren't enough of them. That had been happening for a little while. It just hadn't been as big of a demand as it is right now. So builders who had actually slowed down since the 2008 financial crisis, they hadn't increased their production to keep up with the super high demand. They were being cautious. Of course they were being cautious because they were scared. They had been super duper burned during the financial, well, during the boom and then during the bust. And so, you know, they did really well for a while and then they all, or most at least, really hit rock bottom and a lot of them went under, and that was obviously horrible for them. And so they'd been scared and the housing market was okay and getting hotter. I mean, they did start up production again, of course, but once COVID hit and everybody was so scared that the economy could go under again, even though they had started to build again, they were a little bit concerned. So they semi-slow down, and suddenly, boom, there was this massive, massive demand for housing. So they've started to scramble and build, build, build. I mean, right now, where I live in Gainesville, Florida, which is north central Florida. It is growing like crazy. All of Florida is, but Gainesville is growing more than I've ever seen it grow. And around my neighborhood, I'm including my neighborhood, my neighborhood has new construction, and about, I guess, 10 to 12 subdivisions either that exist or are brand spanking new have new construction. And even though that's going on, and we're almost every price point, probably in the part of the town where I live, we're looking at probably homes starting in the 300s, higher 300s, all the way into the millions. And there is such a demand that all these homes, for the most part, have been sold, or they're selling in record time, even the new construction. So we just had the Parade of Homes, which is like where all the builders showcase their bells and whistles, the best that they can do, et cetera, et cetera. And most of the homes in the parade actually were already sold. So if that gives you any indication what kind of demand we're experiencing, there you go. So without them being able to keep up, people are just thirsty. And that is why there are multiple offers on homes that already exist, just because people need to get into something or want to get into something. And so that's the situation with the demand that has increased. And so with this demand that's increased, lumber has increased. So lumber now is treated like gold. I mean, I did a TikTok, and lots of realtors are doing this, by the way, which is kind of funny. So you have to understand where we're coming from because we're a crazy little bunch. We are doing little TikToks where there's this one thing where it's like, tell me you're rich without telling me that you're rich. And so we're walking by piles of lumber and just showing that, because that means that you're rich. You're sitting on a pot of gold right now if you've got lumber. So what caused this lumber shortage everywhere? And so here's what's been going on. So there was low production to start, kind of going hand in hand with what was going on with the builders. One, chicken or the egg, but basically there was low production. And then with COVID, they halted production because the shutdown started. And so all of these mills, they really were slowing down or shutting down completely. There really wasn't, or they didn't think there would be that kind of demand. There were all these gloom and doom predictions as to what housing was going to do as a result of an impending financial crisis. Well, obviously we know that that did not happen. But as COVID took over and people were shut in their homes, they realized that they kind of hated them. And so they either wanted to get out and buy something new, or they needed to remodel. And so what happens when people are remodeling or doing DIY things? Well, they need lumber. They need lumber for that. And so the demand just started to spike a ridiculous amount overnight almost. And so this production, they just couldn't keep up. And right now there is a major delay in production from everything. We're talking like from trusses for roofs all the way to things like cabinets, if you're doing wooden cabinets. And so it's looking like far, far out, like months and months out. That really affects the builders, of course, because they can't churn out lots of houses very quickly. Or what they have to do is, if they can get their hands on this lumber, they've got to jack up the price. And so the average price of a new single family home, and this is just the average price, has increased by $24,000 since this time last year. Okay, I'm going to say that again because that is crazy. $24,000. So if you're sitting in a subdivision where your neighbor's house was finished sometime February of 2020, and they were lucky to move in there right before COVID started. Well, if you are moving in, if your lot was an empty lot and you are moving in today, or somebody who's building right now and will be moving in the summer, they are paying that much more at least for their house, for an identical house. That is unheard of. And especially at some price points, that's Well, it's going to be more at some price points, of course, but that is just crazy year over year growth. And that's what's fueling the existing family home resales, because if you were to duplicate a house by building it today, if you were to duplicate one that already exists, you'd be paying so much more that it's just kind of like not worth it. It's almost better to move into something that you're not loving and pay a lot for it, but you're not going to be paying the crazy amount that you're going to be paying for something brand new. You're not going to have to wait as long, and you can slowly go remodeling it. And maybe hopefully lumber prices are going to go back to being more normal, less ridiculous, less out of control. And so once it evens out, then you're going to be able to do stuff like that. So what I'm recommending to people is to either buy well below what they can afford and then be able to be in a bidding war because of all of this, or they should buy something that they're maybe not completely in love with in terms of like cabinets and flooring and this and that. Know that they can move in for now and then remodel in the coming year where things will possibly stabilize a little bit and be more affordable. Now, even if that doesn't happen, though, people have all this money, and that's also as a result of COVID. People haven't been traveling. It looks like we're going to start traveling again soon, which is great, but they haven't been traveling. We haven't been traveling. We haven't been dining out very much. We haven't been spending money on work clothes. I mean, hello, yoga pants. I mean, that's like everybody's wearing those. If they're wearing pants, you know who you are. We haven't been spending on gas. We haven't been spending on a lot of things that we would have been spending on if we were leaving our homes. So people are saving all of this money and they're using it for housing related projects, like all these DIY projects or remodeling, or for home purchases. So even though these prices have increased, the price of lumber has increased, therefore the prices of homes has increased, people have been saving all of this money and therefore they can spend more. They're willing to spend more on buying a place because they haven't been spending it on traveling to different places. So that's how COVID mostly has affected the housing market. So instead of being a negative thing, it's actually turned out to be an incredibly positive thing for builders, for sellers, not so much for buyers. Now, buyers are being, I guess they're blessed, I don't know, we'll call it that. Their advantage is that mortgage rates are historically low. I mean, really low. Like somebody, if you didn't buy a house back in the 90s or even in the early 2000s, you have no idea how low it is right now. I remember when I purchased my home in the late 90s, my first home, we were looking, I want to say like 9% or something like that interest rate, which was good. It was actually a great interest rate. We're very pleased by that. And to think that nowadays we are sub 3% interest, and you can put as little as 3% down for a mortgage, for a conventional mortgage. And if you don't know what a conventional mortgage is, or you're not sure how that compares to another kind of mortgage, listen to one of our previous podcast episodes, which does have that information. But the point is, that's not typical. That's not how it was. Typically, conventional mortgages have historically been about 20% down. And now if you're putting 3% down, even if you're paying a little bit of mortgage insurance, your rate is just so low that I'm even seeing people who could pay cash, and that's kind of turned around a little bit because of the demand. That's a side note. But anyway, people who could pay cash are financing because it just makes more financial sense to do it that way. Or they're paying cash and then financing afterward. That's another podcast episode. That's a little bit complicated. The point being that they are historically low, so people have more purchase power. And so this has really, really affected the housing market, because even though prices are so high, people can pay more for houses. Bidding wars are just more common as a result of that. And then something else that's caused that is, if you're putting not that much money down on your house purchase, and if you're interest rate is really, really low, then you can be more competitive when you're putting an offer on a home. So if you find yourself in a bidding war situation and you are offering $20,000 more, even 30,000 more than what the house is listed for. A lot of people are waiving the appraisal contingency because they have more money in their pockets to make up that difference. So if the house were to not appraise for what you said you'd be willing to pay for it, that's okay, because you've got that money saved anyway for your, you know, mortgage payments or whatever. And if they weren't going to be that high, then you've got that in your pocket and you can go ahead and bring that money to the table. It's a bit of a dangerous game, you guys. It's a bit of a dangerous game because you don't know what these prices are going to be doing then a year from now. You could luck out. Or if you're staying in your home for many, many years, you plan to be there for 10 years, 15 years, whatever, you can then risk that and do that sort of thing. But know going in that it may not pay off in the long run. Now, I'm a big proponent, or I really do say that your personal home is not necessarily an investment property. Again, different episode, total tangent, but just keep that in mind. You know, you're going to get what you want and that's awesome, but you're going to pay more for it and you have to take the risk of possibly not making a ton of money from it in the long run, but you get what you want. So that's nice. So the third thing that's really fueling this market, at least here in Florida, and I know in Gainesville, but definitely places on the beach and all of that, is relocation. First of all, people don't want to leave, and especially don't want to leave now because they know that they've got the beach nearby, theme parks nearby, whatever. You've got land, you've got space and all of that. Even if you don't have too much land, you do have sunshine and it's nice. It's nice to live here, at least the weather, you know, weather-wise. It's certainly nice to live here year-round, particularly in the winter. And anybody who lives somewhere that has a super harsh winter can definitely appreciate how it feels here in Florida during that time of the year. The thing is, you know, in Gainesville, and I'm going to speak from what I know, in our area, nobody wants to leave. There's the Gainesville vortex. We've talked about it in other episodes. People love living in Gainesville. And so we've got a steady job market. We've got great quality of life. Relatively low cost of living, not super low, probably not as low as you might think, but we do. The people are some of the best people that I've ever met in my entire life. It is so pleasant and so easy to live here that why would you leave? And why would you leave if you can do your job anywhere in the world? So there you go. By the same token, people are moving here for all of those reasons. People want to actually live here, even though nobody wants to leave. So then people need housing. Why are so many people moving here? It's Gainesville, Florida. It's not Miami, Florida. Well, because we have UF and Shands. UF, University of Florida, one of the best universities in the country. And then Shands Healthcare attached to it. And Shands is one of the best medical systems and healthcare systems in the country. We have some of the leading experts in the world for a variety of specialties. So, I mean, it's a great place to live if you're in college, if you're affiliated with a college, if you are a doctor, or if you need medical care, and therefore if you're retiring. What is a college town, or what started as a college town, now is a town for everybody, and it is growing exponentially as a result of that. And on top of those two industries, we have, almost as a result of it or a byproduct of it, is the biotech boom. We have the world's best biotechnology incubator here in our county. So biotech companies are flocking here to use the resources that are coming out of that. Also tech companies, so not just biotech, but tech companies. We have incubators here. We have talent here. We've got lots of brain power and tremendous facilities that make these companies, it's just they make this part of the world very appealing to these companies. So with these companies come a tremendous number of people as well. So housing is necessary for all of them. And especially if they're coming from places like California or New York, places with higher taxes, this is a great deal. Housing here is super inexpensive by comparison, and why would they not move here then? And then I will say, Poke fun at Florida all you want. I know that we address Florida issues in another episode. People like to laugh at us, but they love us. It's a love-hate relationship with Florida because we've got sunshine, we've got beaches, we've got theme parks, we don't have a state income tax, and, okay, drum roll, because I had to look this up just to verify that this was true. We rank number one in higher education. So you think places, you know, like Massachusetts would, right? Because they've got like Boston with all of these amazing universities and whatnot. But no, Florida ranks number one in higher education for a number of reasons. In part, it's not only do we have amazing universities, but we also have very affordable, amazing universities. That causes us to be number one in higher education. So why wouldn't people flock here for college to teach at these colleges or to be affiliated with them in some way, shape, or form? So there you go. These are the biggest factors that are driving the housing shortage and the ridiculous seller's market. But buyers, don't be discouraged. Okay, don't be discouraged. Like I said, you have more purchasing power than you ever have. You are going to be able to move to places like Florida, which again, like a place like Gainesville, it's a little slice of paradise in north central Florida. We're 2 hours north of Orlando. You can get anywhere from here. And you really need to find a realtor who's kind of like a pit bull. And I know that that sounds funny, but you need somebody who understands all of these nuances and can really write up a contract for you that is in your favor. Doesn't mean you're going to get the house. Doesn't mean that you're going to get the first house that you put an offer on. It doesn't mean that you're going to get the ninth house that you're going to put an offer on, but eventually you will. I do strongly suggest look under the price point. Look under what you qualify for so you can really be competitive and increase that purchase price that you're willing to pay for your beautiful new place. So with all of that said, I'm curious to know what's going to happen in the next year. I want to revisit this a year from now. So let's see what everything's doing in April or May of 2022. And let's see if the housing situation is still this way. I predict it probably will still be a seller's market, but it may not be the kind of seller's market that we are currently experiencing. So with that, I leave you, and I look forward to reconnecting next week on another episode. Thank you so much for listening, and feel free to ask me any questions that you have about this, because I'm happy to talk even more about it. So reach out to me at anna@segwayre.com, and I'll help you as much as possible. All right, bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening today. If you like what you hear and want to learn more about real estate and hear the occasional funny story, then hit that subscribe button right now. And if you know of someone who'd benefit from listening, then tell them to subscribe too, or else they may feel a little left out. For questions, topic suggestions, or nice comments, send an email to anna@segwayre.com. We can also connect on Facebook at SegwayRE. Thanks for listening as we bring you a new way of doing real estate. Bye!